When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And today we will be discussing Chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Quidditch.
So Quidditch.
Make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to dive into the details. But before we begin, let's go to Megan for the Weekly Prophet. Hey. Megan.
So, some news came out about casting for Fantastic Beasts.
Well, this is news to me.
And apparently this guy is well-known, but I don't know who he is, so maybe you guys will know him. His name is David Sakurai.
Sarah's the celebrity kind of deal. She knows everyone. Do you know this person?
He's a Danish-Japanese actor.
Okay.
He's set to appear in the sequel for Fantastic Beasts.
As who?
Yeah.
Hold on, it says, I swear.
I'm sorry. I will let you do your job.
He plays the role of Kral, one of the ambitious and sulky henchmen of Grindelwald.
Ooh, okay.
Just got dark.
Yeah.
I like it.
So apparently he appeared on the Netflix Marvel series Iron Fist and is currently filming Harold Cronk's Unbroken Path to Redemption and will next be seen in Isaac Florentine's Stoic with Antonio Banderas.
Okay. Never heard of any of this, but
no.
That doesn't take away from it. I've heard of Iron Fist. I've heard of that, but I'm talking about the other things. Hello, under the table.
So yeah, I don't know. Apparently, he's relatively well known.
Okay,
he's from Denmark,
Copenhagen.
And it also says here again, just a little like recap for everybody for the next Fantastic Beasts film. It says the film opens in 1927, a few months after Madge's zoologist Scamander helped to unveil and capture the infamous Grindelwald in the first installment. As he promised he would, Grindelwald has made a dramatic escape and has been gathering more followers to his cause. The only one who might be able to stop him is the wizard he once called his dearest friend, Albus Dumbledore. But Dumbledore will need help from the wizard who had thwarted Grindelwald once before, his former student Scamander.
Bum, bum, bum. Guys, I'm so stoked.
Yeah, I cannot wait. This is next November, right?
Unfortunately.
So far away.
I'm super excited to see Jude Law, though.
We got a lot of great movies coming up, though, if you think about it.
Star Wars.
There's a lot of really Star Wars coming up as well.
What's next?
I'm gonna post this article so that you guys can see a picture of him if you don't know who he is.
I don't know who he is.
I never watched
Iron Fist. I've seen a couple of the other... that's Marvel, I believe, correct?
It is.
Yeah.
So I've seen most of the other Marvel shows on Netflix, but I didn't hear good things about Iron Fist, so I didn't watch it. But if you watch The Defenders, you probably should watch Iron Fist because he's in it. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about because I didn't watch it. But Defenders is really good. I like Jessica Jones, and I liked the Luke Cage.
So we agree too. he's good for the
He's pretty fandom. Cute too.
Yeah, he's good looking. He's 38 years old. He's married.
Oh
damn!
Thank
Sorry.
You. Because you guys aren't married.
Yeah. What?
So yeah, that was kind of a short weekly profit, okay. But.
Yeah, no, that's good. So, I don't know. It's just exciting looking forward to the new stuff that's coming out. But can we get it in like, a novel form, please?
Yeah.
I don't want just a screenplay.
Oh,
novelize it for me.
All of them, all together.
I would be surprised
all of
if
it.
She did.
All of it.
Why not? It's mapped awesome. Out perfectly for her. Because she did it herself.
This is a little random. Not totally, but my dad finally watched Fantastic Beasts.
Oh yeah,
Friday I think it was.
Really?
He goes, I really liked it. He goes, it was good. He goes, it wasn't great, but it was good.
It was a lead-in movie. I think it was a really good setup.
See, I'm in love with that movie.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. I gotta watch it again though. I've only seen it twice.
I think maybe three times.
How many times did we see it in theaters, Katie?
Oh wait, so maybe more.
Yeah,
at least three.
I think we saw it four times in theaters, and then
you saw it once with us, but you already seen it.
Yeah,
like watching it with us was your second time.
And we saw it with your mom. So at least three
times, I want to say four. And then we've watched it twice since it came out on Blu-ray.
Okay.
It's on HBO. At least it was.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I'm going to watch it this week. I'm making a pact.
To yourself.
With myself.
With myself.
You can watch it while you edit.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And work on websites.
Yes. More about that later.
Later.
So last episode, we covered Chapter 10, Halloween. Harry and Ron had started thinking about what could possibly be in that grubby little package from Gringotts, especially after their run-in with Fluffy and all that. Harry gets his Nimbus 2000 and his first Quidditch lesson. We talked about our namesake in Flitwick's class, Swish and Flick. And three certain first years managed to take down a fully grown mountain troll. And now they're best friends. And as
we live to tell the tale.
Yeah, really, though. And as we learned in the last episode, there are just some things you can't share without ending up liking each other.
Yep.
And that's one of them.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So now on to, what are we on?
The summary.
Chapter 11.
Summary.
Quidditch. It's easy enough to understand.
Whoa, that was like dead on.
That was good.
Congratulations.
She's been practicing.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So chapter 11. Harry's first game of Quidditch is fast approaching. Harry, Ron, and Hermione are sitting outside on a cold November morning. Harry's reading Quidditch throughout the ages, and they notice a limping Snape. He comes over to them, takes the book away from Harry, and 5 points. That evening, Harry goes to ask Snape if he can have the book back, so he goes to the staff room and knocks. When no one answers, he pushes the door open a crack. Inside is Snape and Filch. Filch is handing Snape bandages for his bloody and mangled leg. Harry hears Snape talk about the three-headed dog. He tries to shut the door, but Snape hears him and tells him to get out. So Harry runs back to the common room to tell Ron and Hermione what he heard. The next morning is Harry's first game of Quidditch. So after breakfast, they all head down to the pitch to start the game against Slytherin. The game has started, and Harry is focused on finding the snitch. He finally spots it and soars after it, along with the Slytherin seeker. Soon, his broom starts to act funny, and Hermione and Ron notice that Snape is staring at Harry and muttering words. Hermione goes over to his stand and sets his robes on fire to get him to stop messing with Harry's broom. Harry's able to get back on his broom correctly and zooms to get the snitch that is flying towards the ground. He lands on the ground and looks like he's going to be sick and spits the snitch out of his mouth. Gryffindor wins the game.
Woo!
Harry, Ron, and Hermione head to Hagrid's and after the game for some tea, and they tell him all about Snape and that they learned that the three-headed dog named Fluffy is named Fluffy and that Hagrid knows what it's guarding.
That was a good summary.
And again, a perfect read.
It wasn't perfect.
I'll give it a 8 out of 10.
Oh, that's a lot of stars. I'm so proud of you. So when we first get into the chapter, Joe paints an absolutely great visual for us for Hogwarts. So she talks about how it's cold and Hogwarts looks ice gray.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the lake looks like chilled steel. And every morning the ground is covered in frost. And I just get this like
I don't know. I get this perfect picture of Hogwarts in my head where I'm like
nice and cozy.
I'm all bundled up in my robes.
It makes me like feel chilly thinking about it.
My Gryffindor scarf. And
I don't know if we've told you guys this yet, but we're going to see Hogwarts at Christmas.
What?
We're going to Florida to see the Hogwarts castle for Christmas. Yeah.
It's going
to
be like...
I mean, are you going again in January?
It's the first time that they've done for Christmas.
Merry Christmas from my mother.
Oh my God.
Can I go?
Sure.
They're going to the Harry Potter celebration.
Dear Mama. Yeah, well... It's too bad it's not during my break.
We're actually doing it. We're flying out Friday evening and coming home Sunday evening, so we don't have to miss any work. So, just throwing out there, Spirit out of Akron has flights at 7:50 at night on Friday night. And they were $50 each way.
I'm looking at you, sister.
I can make no promises at this present time.
We'll figure it out. Ooh, that would be interesting. And by interesting, I mean amazing.
The celebration is a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go. So
we'll miss the opening ceremony on Friday, but
that's all right.
Saturday is more involved, and we'll be able to attend most of Sunday. So
yeah, all right. So back to cold Hogwarts.
Cold Hogwarts just got me excited.
No, but it like
about it.
It like makes me feel like I could be there, bundled up in my robes and my Gryffindor scarf and all that jazz. And I don't know, I just love that picture. Plus, it's like September, 24th? And it's like 90 degrees where we're at, which is ridiculous. So we're like craving some fall weather here.
You guys can speak for yourselves.
Yeah. Well, Katie's loving
it. I want fall weather. I'm ready for it.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm like always cold, but I'm ready for it. So and we get this great Hagrid outfit. And I think over the years in books, we get to see all the cool things that Hagrid wears. But we like to call this Hagrid fashion. And so today, Hagrid is sporting a moleskin coat, rabbit fur gloves, and beaver skin boots. And I said, he's like wearing a zoo.
Yes.
And I got to figure, he probably made all those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that it's this cold this early in the season there. Like,
it's November.
It's November.
Yeah. And they're further away from the equator.
Yeah, I know. It just seems weird.
No, it's not.
It's accurate?
Correct.
Okay.
You can Google
it.
The internet highway is there for your enjoyment.
It just is weird to me.
Well, it's November. I mean,
we're also closer to the equator.
You got to think like we, you know, sometimes November for us, it's like a gamble. Like,
right.
Could be freezing or like
totally changed our seasons. Like, I feel like we don't even get snow till January anymore now. We used to get it like in November when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's definitely changed.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you still, 2 years ago, the weekend of their wedding, the year before their wedding.
My wedding, it was the weekend before.
Blizzard. The year before.
The like year the, before.
That oh. week, like, the, well, what would have been your wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Like, 3 feet of snow, like that Friday.
And then the week before our wedding day was, like, super warm. And then the weekend of our wedding day was, it was chilly. This is about Harry Potter.
There's us.
Yeah, that is much higher north.
Okay, makes sense.
See, I have a really hard time picturing
geography.
Scotland. Because, like, we're planning for this trip to California that we're taking, and, like, I envisioned when we fly up to San Francisco being much further north than it actually is. So I was, like, asking Chris, our roommate, I'm like, so should we, like, we're going at the end of October, like, is it going to be cold? And he's like, it's not going to be cold, it's California. That's and true. I'm like, but it's, like, Northern California, isn't that, like,
it's not
could
that
it be
northern.
Snow?
Yeah.
And he's like, no! I'm like, oh, okay, sorry.
So, yeah,
I forgot about the two states above that.
That'll do it. So Quidditch will be starting soon, and Harry's been practicing, and they've been, like, secret practices, because Wood wants to keep him, like, a complete secret. But there are no well-kept secrets at Hogwarts. And I said, even the Chamber of Secrets is revealed. And it has secret in the name. So nothing is kept secret at Hogwarts. And even, like, I don't know if it's in the book or if it's just a movieism. He says, so it should have been, like, whatever happened in the chamber, like, should have been private. So naturally, the whole school knows. So I think that's just great.
Mm-hmm.
So Hermione starts helping the boys with their classwork. And this is the first instance of this. And she basically carries them through their education. Basically. I mean, she helps them with their homework. She gives them insights on what to write. Like, she is one of their best teachers.
Yeah. I think it even says in there, like, Hermione would never give them the answer, but they would just, like, ask her to check things, and that's how they ended up getting the real answers anyway. So yeah, they kind of, like, manipulated her into and getting the right answers.
Yeah, and they knew that she is such a perfectionist, and she has to be right. Like, she would be like, oh my gosh, this is all wrong. Let me fix it for you. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they, like, kind of, like, weaseled.
They weasel answers out of her.
They do. Yeah. They do, because they're just trying to get free homework done. And so we read about Harry reading Quidditch through the ages. He finds that it's a good read. And this was the book that Hermione and Neville, they were reading to learn about flying and such. And so he didn't think it was a great book before. Like, when they were talking about it, he was kind of ignoring it because I think he was so nervous. But now that he's diving into it, he actually really likes it. And Quidditch through the ages is a book that we can read because it's part of the Hogwarts library.
Mm-hmm.
That Rowling has written. So if you don't have those, they're fairly small. Like, it comes with that and Fantastic Beasts. Like, you can get it in a box set. I got the original box set, which I was super excited about.
Now the box set also comes with Tales of Beelzebub.
That's awesome. And it's fairly inexpensive if you buy it by itself.
Not too bad.
Yeah. $10 max.
Could be worse.
I think it's like $7.
There's like a really nice hardcover.
Oh! Very good call.
There's like a really nice hardcover version of it that you can buy on its own. It's like $7.50 or something like that on Amazon Prime.
You couldn't have said $7 again?
No. $7.50.
Well, that's all I have about that.
Yeah. So, speaking of Quidditch through the ages, this kind of like ties into the next part of this chapter where Harry, Ron, and Hermione are hanging out outside. Hermione's conjured up her little blue flames, which I think is...
Thanks.
Which I think is cool because these blue flames travel from the very first book all the way to Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
They use them in the woods whenever they are traveling to try and get the Horcruxes.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, these are her specialty, which I... Why, like, what do you think... Is this like a special charm that like anybody can conjure? Is this something that Hermione's created herself?
I tried.
Like, why are
it up.
These not? Are these? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, is this? They call it her specialty. So does that mean that it's something that she made?
I don't know if it's necessarily something that she made, but maybe something. It's like a spell that she has mastered. I mean, she's just a first year student. It could be something that's more complex, like maybe for a second or a third year to create fire or anything like that. And it's so early in the year, it's only November. So maybe by specialty, they mean that like she's perfecting this as a witch. I mean, she is.
Even all the way back into Deathly Hallows, they still call it her specialty, though.
They do? They say that?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've heard it say that's her specialty.
Well, I tried looking it up like on Pottermore.
Oh,
I couldn't. Not on there, anyway. I don't know if maybe HP Lexicon or someone has it.
It wouldn't surprise me that she made it up.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. She's very clever.
Yes, she's very clever.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of... If anybody, like, has any ideas on that... Send it out to us. I don't know. That seems like something maybe she would have made. Or
why blue?
Why
her? What does blue mean, Katie? You want to look that up?
I don't know.
I'm so blue.
So anyway, they spot Snape, and Harry immediately realizes that he's limping,
mm-hmm.
which he then starts thinking about. Hold on. I'm backtracking. I need to restart this.
I can tell you what the internet says that blue is.
Okay.
It says blue is the color of the sky and the sea. It is often associated with depth and stability. It symbolizes trust, loyalty, wisdom, confidence, intelligence, faith, trust, and heaven.
Also, it says her skills on Pottermore is everything.
Yeah. This blue is considered beneficial to the mind and body.
Hmm.
And it produces a calming effect.
I don't know. That's interesting. Dear Joe.
Anyway, as they spot Snape, Harry immediately realizes that he starts limping, but doesn't really go into much detail about it. It's just like a thought in his head, like he realizes that Snape is injured in some way. So Snape is basically just like a jerk and takes Quidditch through the ages from Harry because he's bored for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what is up Snape's butt, but
regret.
So he's just like, oh, that's a library book. It can't leave the castle, which is a total lie.
He just hates him because he looks like James.
I know.
I think every time he sees him, he's just like, oh, how can I get you right now?
Yeah. So he takes Quidditch through the ages from Harry, and then Harry's all bummed because he actually really liked that book. So later at night, they're in the common room, and Harry, for whatever reason, decides that he thinks it's a good idea to try and go and ask Snape for his book back because, like, that's going to work, right?
Yeah, like, what possessed Harry to be like, I'm going to do this, it'll work.
I guess maybe it's still pretty early in their relationship. He maybe still has high hopes.
We could tie that back to, what did we say? He was brave and stupid.
Yeah. So he heads to the teacher's lounge and then sees Snape and Filch in there discussing Fluffy, and Filch is helping Snape bandage his leg. Why can Snape not just go to Madame Pomfrey to mend his leg, and why can't he mend it himself?
So going to Madame Pomfrey would not be a good idea, I don't think, because she wasn't privy to what was going on between Dumbledore and Snape keeping an eye on Quirrell.
True.
So that would be too weird. And then I think Filch just does whatever Snape wants because they seem very similar in nature.
But why couldn't he have gone to Dumbledore?
Couldn't Snape have whipped up some sort of potion?
Maybe. You guys, that was my lightning bolt round question.
I'm sorry.
Maybe he didn't want to like bother Dumbledore with this, being like, whatever, I'm going to live. My leg's a little banged up, but whatever. I'm not just going to bring
it
this
was
to him.
Mangled, though.
Yeah.
The adjective to describe it was horrible.
Well, yes, but...
Like, you're walking on it. Fluffy got a hold of him.
Huh?
He's walking on it, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was weird that he was using bandages. Like, I get you would probably use a bandage, but wouldn't you also use, like, a spell? That's just my thought.
Yeah.
Or even a potion, like Katie said. Like, is there a potion that he could, like, rejuvenate?
Essence of Dittany.
Yeah, why didn't he use Essence of Dittany?
Ah, Dittany.
Good question.
Why didn't he?
Oh, play on words.
That's pretty good.
So, anyway, Snape then, so Harry is like, oh, shoot, I'm clearly not supposed to be here. So he tries to, like, quietly back out. And then Snape sees him and is like, get out, Potter.
Yeah. So
then Harry just runs for his life so that Snape can't give him a detention or take points from Gryffindor. And he succeeds in that, which I think is a feat in and of itself right there.
Yeah.
He gets away from Snape. However, he then comes to the conclusion that Snape obviously tried to get past Fluffy on Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is that dog guarding, guys?
I don't know, guys. I'm so confused.
Signed a picture of me.
I was a bit preoccupied with its head.
In case you didn't notice, there were three.
You guys are ridiculous. I looked up Bluebell Flames, though,
ooh,
on the wiki. It doesn't have a whole lot, but it does mention them. It called them Bluebell Flames or Cold Fire or Blue Flames. And it says it's produced by a charm of an unknown incantation following from the caster's wand in a stream or a jet, which condenses into a body of fire on a nearby object, similar to incendio. And then it says they're bright blue, waterproof, and radiating heat only to objects held directly above it. And it can be touched and held without burning the holder, though it's known to burn materials such as clothing and pants.
The movie told us what the incantation is.
Well, it brings that up.
Aconum inflammare.
The movie made that up, though.
But JK may have told them.
She may have. I don't know.
We'll never know.
But it says that the flames never can only ever be directed to a desired location by its caster. And then it brings up the instances.
She would usually put them in, like, little jars.
Little jar, yeah.
And or then bowls. She had them in a bowl in Deathly Hallows in the middle of the tent.
It says, in the film, the spell was replaced by Lacarum Inflammare when Hermione attempted to distract Snape. And Lumos Solem when she was killing the Devil's Snare.
Hmm.
And they didn't make him blue.
True.
So I don't know. And then it brings up the seventh one. So I don't know.
It does seem like not advanced magic, but more advanced for than a
right. But if it mentions
however many month fresh first year, you know.
Yeah, and it mentions that it's their specialty. You guys said
right
twice, so I want to know.
Hmm.
Dear Joe,
dear Joe. Any other thoughts on flames, or are we moving on?
I don't know if I have any more comments on Flames. All I have right. some comments on the dog, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
So we wake up to Harry's first Quidditch match, right?
Hooray!
Yeah.
So the Great Hall is full of the delicious smell of, Sarah, fried sausages.
She's so happy.
But poor Harry can't eat any because he's just too nervous for his first match, even though Hermione tries very hard to get him to eat.
Take a bit of toast, mate.
Yep, but no.
I don't think she sounded like that, but
was okay. That Ron?
It was Ron. Oh. that was very masculine for Hermione.
The Gryffindors and Slytherins wear scarlet and green robes. Just saying.
Nice.
So they walk out onto the field. Harry's all nervous, and Madam Hooch says she wants a nice, fair game from everyone, and she speaks directly at the Slytherin captain, Marcus Flint, who Harry says he thinks has some troll blood in him.
That was the best.
Which is hilarious.
Can we talk about how cute he is now?
Oh, yeah. He's pretty
good
cute.
Looking. Look him up.
Once you take out those fake teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those were bad.
And surprise for Harry, Ron, Hermione, Neville, Seamus, and Dean make him a banner to hold up in the stands on a sheet that Scabbers ruined. I don't know if he chewed on it or peed on it or whatever Pettigrew is doing up there in the dormitory. But it says Potter for president, and Dean drew like a big lion on it, and Hermione put a charm on it so it flashed different colors. And it makes Harry's heart skip a beat, and it makes him feel braver.
Why is Peter being so ratty?
Because he's been a rat for like 10 years
now. Do you think if you are in your animagus form that you start having less human tendencies, like for a long time, start having less human tendencies and start having more tendencies of that animal?
I would think so.
Is that canon?
I don't know. That's a really good thought.
It's my head canon. It's my head canon.
I like it.
Because like, I don't go around chewing on stuff, so he had some ratty tendencies happening right there. I think that's funny. I hope it's not pee.
I hope not.
Come on.
But where's Peter? Peter.
Peter.
Peter is gross, Peter. So could
I
be.
I don't know.
That is true. That is canon. He is gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
So Joe gives us this really awesome insight into Quidditch. Like the way that Lee Jordan gives us a play-by-play of the match, you get that feeling of like, chaotic craziness, the highs and lows of the game.
I thought it was really cool. The dynamic of Lee Jordan.
And yes.
Especially when he's commentating with McGonagall right behind him and she's constantly yelling at him.
Yes. It's but so you know cool. She's thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
She's probably being like, yeah, we're kicking their butts. Like, go Gryffindor.
Or like, I hate that kid, but don't say that.
Yeah. And even Hagrid comes to watch the game, which again, father figure to our Harry.
Little Haggy.
At one point,
don't
Harry,
he's my Haggy.
Harry gets fouled, and Dean starts yelling about a red card because he loves soccer. And him and Ron have this argument because Ron
it's
just
like
does
what
not
I
understand
about earlier,
soccer.
Don't get your sports mixed up if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about.
Consult a previous episode.
Yes. And Harry's broom is jinxed. His Nimbus suddenly tries to buck him off. But as we all know, Nimbus 2000s don't just suddenly decide to do that to their riders. Mm-hmm. He loses complete control of it. And we find out from Hagrid that nothing can interfere with a broomstick except very powerful dark magic.
So who does it?
So who's doing it? I don't know.
But think about, like, that's some serious, like, magic within a broomstick then. Yeah. Like, if you think, like, only dark magic can get to it, that's pretty awesome.
They've got to have some sort of protection.
They would have to because at, like, games and stuff like that, if you, like, really hate the other team, some random person in the crowd could just be like,
people who are betting that room. Betting galleons on the World Cup, and they're like making it happen. You know, that's good.
Do you think they learned their lesson? Like earlier, brooms were like easily insured, and then they're like, "Oh, we have to change this."
It's kind of like cars, right? I mean, like cars were made differently back in the day with like not as many safety features and all that kind of stuff, and like now you have to wear a seat belt. It's like the same kind of thing, but just like with magic.
Gosh, such a good comparison.
Yeah,
well, that was pretty good, Meg.
I try.
Just inflate her ego some more.
But Hermione sees Snape muttering under his breath with his eyes fixed on Harry. So they think he's jinxing the broom.
Yes.
She goes to Harry's rescue and uses her little bluebell flames to set his robes on fire, knocking Professor Quirrell over on her way.
Yes.
Hint, hint.
And it works.
And it works.
And it works.
And Harry gets back on his broom, and he almost swallows the snitch, and he wins the game.
Yep.
He almost follows the snitch that comes back to him years later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's very important that it wasn't touched by his hands.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it was after it, but the first
time. Well, yeah.
He basically
well, that's the
snogged
touch that counts.
It.
Huh?
He snogged it.
He snogged the snitch. I love alliteration. Snogging snitchels.
Sarah, can I have your extra hair tie?
I don't know where it is.
It's on your wrist.
Oh.
You're the bomb.
This is fun with Swish and Flick.
That's hilarious. I literally was like, it was on the table. I don't know what happened to it.
And we, like, so the reason, obviously, why knocking into Quirrell was so helpful is because you can't break the eye contact with that particular jinx that he was doing. Yeah. So I wonder, like, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy. Like with a jinx, usually you have to cast like one spell.
Right.
So like what kind of dark magic jinx
like
where
mantra.
You have to continuously
but maybe
do
because
this?
It says very dark magic. Like maybe the broom is so powerful that like you have to keep doing it, keep going at
it'll
it to
like,
really knock him off, to really
it'll like get away.
Like maybe say it was like a broom that was like 60 years old and he did it once and it would have worked perfectly. Mm. Where this one is a brand new, it's got a lot
it?
Of correct.
Keep
like,
casting it
yeah.
to like
maybe,
break it down.
Maybe he didn't think each. Harry would stay on as long as he did. Yeah. So he's got to just keep going and going and going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like each time he casts it is like a jerk of the broom, right? So he's like trying to like get him off.
Just
so
throw him
just
off.
Keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Yum. So after the victorious win against Slytherin, 170-60,
ooh,
the trio go to Hagrid's for a cup of tea. Ron tells Hagrid and Harry how it was Snape who was the one jinxing Harry's broom, telling them that he and Hermione saw how Snape was concentrated on Harry, not blinking and muttering words.
I think it's important that Hermione's now on board with Harry and Ron, as before she was like, no, Snape's a teacher, he wouldn't do anything bad. And now she's like, oh, I saw something happen.
Yeah. And Hagrid defends Snape and asking them, like, why do you think he would even do something like that? Like, he's like, he's a teacher. He's helping guard, like, he's helping to protect, like, whatever the dog is guarding. And Harry's like, well, he was trying to get past the three-headed dog that's in the third floor corridor. And, like, whatever he's guarding, like, Snape is trying to steal it. So Hagrid's like, well, how do you know about Fluffy? And then they're like, that thing has a name. And it's his. And so he tells us how he bought it off of a Greek chappy he met in the pub last year. Which is interesting because in the movies he said he bought it off an Irish feller.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that, and other people have made this connection, that so he bought it off a Greek feller. And then you find out later on, or I don't know if you found out in the books, but at least on Pottermore we know that after this whole thing ends, they send him back to Greece, correct?
No, they send him into the forest first.
But where does he end up?
No, he ends up back in Greece.
Yeah.
But somebody got him from the forest. I think that's what we said.
I don't remember.
No, I don't know.
Like, in like the Forbidden Forest?
Because you got it from one of her Scholastic chats where she said that somebody retrieved Fluffy from the forest and sent back to Greece. I think it was in our episode.
Well, we're gonna look it up.
We remember what we say, you guys.
I thought it was interesting that in Greek mythology, and I'm probably gonna pronounce this incorrectly, but Cerberus was a three-headed dog that guarded the gates to the underworld. And in order to get past him, music would have to be played for him to fall asleep, as portrayed in the movie.
Love
And it's interesting because he's from a Greek He bought them off a Greek chap. So
that's awesome.
It's cool that, like, because I'm really into Greek mythology and Roman mythology, like mythology. And I remember hearing about that, and I remembered seeing people talk about it with Fluffy. And then you see Hagrid almost tells them what the dog is guarding.
Yeah.
He was released into the forest in it.
Temporarily.
Yep. And she said so in a March 2001 Blue Peter interview with JK.
Oh, I thought it was Scholastic. Darn.
So.
I'll save it for Lightning Bolt.
Okay. And so Hagrid keeps defending Snape, saying he's a teacher. He wouldn't try to kill a student or steal whatever is hidden in the school. He also lets it slip that whatever the dog is guarding, it has to do with Dumbledore and Nicholas Flamel. And then you see Hagrid is mad that he let it slip, which is kind of a thing that Hagrid does.
It's a Hagridism.
Yes. And I thought we could talk a little bit about Nicholas Flamel, which you find out that he's actually a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And he I'm going to read you what it says on Pottermore. There's an article. We can post it. It says the real Nicholas Flamel was a wealthy businessman and a noted philanthropist. There are streets that are named after him and his wife in Paris. His wife's name is Perrineau. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
I think Perrineau.
Yeah, sure.
And it says, Nicholas Flamel was a real person. I read about him in my early 20s when I came across one of the versions of his life story. It told how he had bought a mysterious book called The Book of Abraham the Jew, which was full of strange symbols and which Flamel realized were instructions on alchemy. The story went that he subsequently made it his life's work to produce the Philosopher's Stone. And it says, I remember having a highly detailed and exceptionally vivid dream about Flamel several months into the writing of Philosopher's Stone, which was like a Renaissance painting coming to life. Flamel was leading me around his cluttered laboratory, which was bathed in a golden light, and showing me exactly how to make the stone. I wish I could remember how to do it.
Okay. Do people know what alchemy is?
I don't know.
I've got it pulled up. I'll just define it for people. Because sometimes, like, I remember when I read it first, I was like, what does that mean? So it's a medieval forerunner of chemistry based on the supposed transformation of matter. It is concerned particularly with attempts to convert base metals into gold or find a universal elixir. So that is alchemy, in case you don't know. Because knowledge is power.
Yeah. So it all revolves around the Sorcerer's Stone.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we know what the Sorcerer's Stone can do with the elixir only, and the transformation of metals.
He's the only known maker of the Philosopher's Stone.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you, Potter?
He went to Beauxbatons, apparently.
Oh!
It says this is his fact file on Pottermore.
Yeah.
Birthdate, unknown. This is what it says. Birthdate, unknown date, but he had a lot of them. He attended Beauxbatons Academy, his skills as alchemy, and his death sometime after the Philosopher's Stone was destroyed in 1992.
Yeah, so they said that he had plenty to get his affairs in order, and so I just wonder how many
months, days, years.
Yeah. Yeah, how long do you have?
Well,
after you drink the elixir of life,
he probably had some stored, right?
Yeah,
yeah, but like him and his wife, and then do you think their kids drank it? Did they have kids?
Hmm.
It's a thought to think of.
I don't know.
And then I could tell you a little... Oh, well, we could talk about this later. I lied.
Ooh.
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 So that's all about Nicholas Flamel. And we can, again, address him later because he's going to come up again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the end of the chapter.
That was a short chapter.
Yeah.
But that's okay because we're going with it. So that brings us
But you learned a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You learned that the dog's name is Fluffy. And... Fluffy. That Snape could be an evil dude, maybe. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Snape is evil. Let's be real.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. All right. So our lightning bolt round. Welcome. So you guys already took one of my questions, which is why he wasn't healing his own leg with magic. So then I decided to ask, what do you think the counter curse was that he was muttering when Quirrell was trying to knock Harry off?
I bet you that like Quirrell was trying to do some type of jinx that was like forcing like jerking movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have just been
Stop a kiss, jerk a kiss.
could use that on himself to stop being a jerk.
Brumo, stop.
And like Snape has to know.
They both knew what each other was doing because Quirrell says, you know, he's muttering his counter curse or whatever. And then obviously Snape knows what Quirrell's creeping around doing.
Yeah.
So it was like they were silently fighting with each other almost.
So now everybody knows that it wasn't Snape. It was Quirrell.
It's a reread.
Some people are reading this for the first time with me. Spoiler alert.
I'm not sure that this is the podcast for you. Cause we're going to ruin your book for you. Okay. But he just like, do you think he like kept having to like say it every time?
I bet you were just that he jerked because it was like
going Quirrell, Snape, Quirrell, Snape, Quirrell, Snape.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's why.
So he just kept having to repeat whatever the counter curse was.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you think Quirrell would have had the power to do it if he wasn't attached to Voldemort? Would he have been able to like knock him off his broom a little bit?
He was a talented wizard.
Yeah, I'd say yes.
He was a soft kind of creature.
He was
hiding
under a facade, but he was powerful, I think.
I don't think he was.
No, I think he was. No, I think you have to have a certain level of power to be, to have Voldemort.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Voldemort he killed all those animals that he tried, that he like put his soul into because they weren't strong enough to hold him. So anything that could hold Voldemort for a period of time had to be strong enough.
I think it's just a human versus animal kind of thing. I personally don't think he's strong enough.
Respectfully disagree.
It's fine. You're wrong.
All right. I have a question. Had Fluffy remained in the forest, do you think he would have fought in the final battle of Hogwarts?
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That would have been epic.
Can you see Hagrid like pulling some whistle out of his pocket?
Which side?
The good side.
Do you think that Fluffy had the brain power to know?
I think
he would have just followed Hagrid.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Think about how like what if he had killed Voldemort and he just ripped him to shreds? Bye.
I can't wait to hear that playback.
Speaking of Fluffy, I have a question.
Yeah.
What would you have named him? Because Fluffy is not an accurate name for that dog.
Oh, no. I like the name Fluffy.
I would name him Drool.
I would name him Pat.
Pat my dog.
Would you give him three names? Because it's technically three dogs.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you think every head had a different personality?
Larry, Curly, and Mo.
Yes.
Ron, Harry, and Hermione.
There's that three again, you guys.
Yeah.
That number three again. I don't know. I like Drool.
Spike.
I, like, my whole life have always had really lame dog names. Like, they were all just very, you know, like, our first dog was named Rover. Our second dog was Freckles. And our third dog was Snoopy.
Like, I love those.
All you need is a spot.
No, they're adorable, but it's just, like, so expected.
Yeah.
And then there's Winnie, who is, like, I love her.
A poo.
Oh, she's so cute.
I had a cat named Fluffy. Fattest cat on the planet.
So I feel like I would have been, I would have named them, like, something like that, like Rover, Freckles, and Snoopy.
There you go. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. Instead of a dog, what would you want? What ferocious beast or non-ferocious beast would you want guarding your philosopher's stone?
Three-headed dragon.
A dragon.
Ooh. Because that's just nasty. Ooh. All Norwegian ribbed jackets.
I'm going to say a Niffler because those little guys are crafty.
Yeah.
A Crumplehorn Snorkack.
Three of them. Ooh, or an Arumpent.
An Arumpent. Dude. Yes, an Arumpent.
But that would like...
Don't get close to it. You'll blow up.
Do they die when they blow up?
I would think.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Kind of like when a bee stings you.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I would have... Can I make something up and have like something that will turn into your allergy so you go into anaphylactic shock?
So you wouldn't use a creature, you would use a spell.
Yeah. Oh. Like, oh, you're allergic to shrimp? It starts pelting shrimp at you.
Choo, choo, choo.
Let me think of other questions I could ask.
It'd be like a boggart, but for your allergies.
I have a question.
Okay.
If you were Harry and you were playing in your first Quidditch game, would you have caught the snitch?
Yeah.
Probably in my mouth.
I think that I would not have. I would just be so nervous. I think I would just like
flump, but fumble. I feel like I would choke on it. Like I would get the thing in my mouth.
I could see that happening.
Like I would catch the snitch with my mouth. I then choke on it and then just start vomiting. But I didn't eat breakfast, so there's nothing really coming up.
That's ridiculous, but accurate for you.
I have a question. If you were a Hermione type character, what color do you want your flames to be?
Purple.
I was gonna say purple too.
It's my favorite color.
I just think purple is such a magical color, mm-hmm. and it just like makes me think happy thoughts.
I want them to be the color of the tears of my enemies.
Where do you even get these things? How do you come up with something?
I don't even know.
Like, have you heard that somewhere? Or did that come from the depths of your brain?
It just came from my mind.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous.
Let's see. Let's ask another question.
Okay, let's.
Would you have gone and asked Snape for your book back?
No.
Yes.
No. I'd have been too scared.
If I was Harry, no, but if I was me.
I would have probably asked like Hermione to do it.
Yeah.
But he would have told her no.
Yeah. He probably hated Hermione more than he hated Harry.
No.
More than he hated Harry?
No, oh, man.
Not more than he hated Harry.
Another question. Now, if you were Snape and you were mangled by the dog,
I would have gone
that to dog.
I was going to say, what would you do?
I would have gone to Dumbledore and been like, fix me.
Yeah, I would have probably went to Dumbledore since he like knows what's happening. And
I would have been like, listen, I was trying to head off Quirrell. I got bit. Can you fix it?
Yep.
Interesting.
I wonder how his leg looked after that. It's probably scarred. Like bad.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, do you have a chunk missing?
Gross.
Another question.
What did I say? How did I say it that time? When I said Wormtail was gross. It was like that. That's like Katie's favorite thing.
You have fried sausages in all capital letters.
Yes.
Now, yeah, it's important.
It's the morning of your first ever Quidditch match. What do you want to eat for
breakfast?
What
are you eating?
Toast so that I don't throw up anything.
Okay.
Toast seems safe.
Yeah.
Maybe jazz it up a little bit of jam, but I wouldn't go
jam it up a little bit.
Jam it up. Jam up the toast. I don't know. I got to figure out how to have something.
I would need something a little bit hearty. Like, I would need
maybe I would have potatoes.
I'm going for, like, potatoes and, like, a hard-boiled egg. That way it's not greasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would, like, work out on an empty stomach, so I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't eat anything.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Not on purpose, just because there's no time at 5:30 a.m.
What color would you, if you were playing or had your own professional Quidditch team, what color do you want your robes to be? And they can't be what you called your, can't be purple.
Oh,
or whatever color
want
you want your flames to be.
Dang.
Yellow.
Mm. Green.
Yellow. Lame. House colors. Silver.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, you like that?
Rose gold.
Did you say rose gold?
Hashtag copper. Millennial.
I want mine to be a rainbow.
Yeah. Flash,
different colors.
You guys should think of a Quidditch team name. What would you call yourselves?
Oh.
Or do you think that like each team, like, yeah, we're the Gryffindor team, but like they secretly call themselves like, you know, the Cool Kids Club or something funny? Like,
I could see Fred and George doing that.
I don't know.
We're part of the Lion Squad.
Roar.
Ooh.
Roar. Lion Pride.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
The pride of the lions. I don't know. It's just a thought.
What would you call yourselves? We're the Fozzie Bears. Flying through the air.
My go-to fantasy name for, like, sports is Iggy Smalls.
I was going to say I want to be the Ted Tornadoes because my cat's name is Ted.
Oh,
but there's already a Tornadoes team. We found out last episode.
The Ted Tornadoes, though.
The Ted Tornadoes sounds cooler.
If we went with my fantasy football name, I was all the Elway because of John Elway.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't play fantasy anymore, though.
I'm going to do fantasy basketball. Exciting.
Woo.
I don't do a fantasy anything.
All right. Is that all for our lightning bolt round?
I think so.
That was a lot of questions. Sarah, I have a question. Do you make those up on the flyer?
Correct.
Gosh. You're just always so full of questions, and I, like, blank out. I have to, like, I started a Word document called lightning bolt questions.
But let's
talk by chapter.
How often do we just sit around and I ask you a random question?
I know.
It comes in handy.
No, yeah. You come in clutch every episode for lightning.
Sarah's always like, what would you do if?
Yeah.
If I just
she does that on the regular. Yeah. She, like today at lunch, what would you do if I threw up on you? What?
I didn't say throw up on you. If I threw up all over everybody.
Yep.
That's what I said.
Not answering yep. that. Weirdo.
All right.
You want to move on
that
to
brings
our
us to
story?
Our fan story. Yeah.
All right.
This one's a little long, but it's good. But
yeah.
So this one comes from Nadra Crystal Ball. Did I say that right?
You said Nadra. Yeah, she okay. phonetically spelled that for you.
She okay. says, just as it did for the four of you, it took me a while to get to the level of Harry Potter obsession that I'm at now. I was 7 years old when the first movie came out, and my best friend and I couldn't wait to see it in theaters.
She was a baby.
I know. However, here's the proof. However, the screaming book in the restricted section gave me nightmares for weeks. Oh, the poor God. Thing. And it took a lot of convincing for me to go and see the second movie in theaters as well. After finally gathering up enough courage to watch Chamber of Secrets, it became a family tradition for us to go and see every single Harry Potter movie in theaters.
That's cute.
But despite this fact, I still wasn't the huge Potter fanatic that I am now. Although I always made sure to tune into ABC Family every time they had a Harry Potter weekend.
So every weekend?
Right. I think she was like a closeted huge fan.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're tuning in. Yeah, I think you were there.
About 6 years ago, when my brother and I were watching one of the ABC Family Harry Potter weekends, he asked me why I never read the books. We both thought it was kind of funny because that I, the bookworm, hadn't read any of the books, whereas he, the 5 years younger, not and read for pleasure kind of guy, had read every single Harry Potter book. So I decided to give the books a try. I opened up Sorcerer's Stone that night, and about 3 weeks later, I was finishing up Order of the Phoenix.
Nice.
I read through the books faster than I've ever read through anything and couldn't put them down. I stayed up until 3 a.m. reading, and I kept reading until I couldn't keep my eyes open. Mm. I always
books
had...
Like, books that do that are the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always had a general idea of the storyline from just watching the movies, but reading the books added so much more depth and magic to the story. After finishing The Deathly Hallows, I was amazed. How could I have gone so long without having read these books? To this day, The Deathly Hallows is still my favorite book. The way J.K. Rowling ties the entire series mm-hmm. together isn't done justice in the final movie.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And this fact kind of makes me glad that I saw the movies before reading the books. Although I'm a little sad that I didn't fall in love with Potter sooner, I'm beyond excited that J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter universe still have new stories and adventures to share with us, and I can't wait to see what comes next. We also have to give Nadra credit for giving us the idea of posting about our Potter-named pets, because uh-huh. she shared a picture of her dog Bellatrix with us.
Who is nice. Adorable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that, and thank you for your story.
Yeah.
And we do have a third cat that is named, but I never have any good pictures of her, so I didn't post her. But we have a mini, but I think we've said that on the podcast before.
I posted her before.
I think we said that on the first one, actually.
So...
So thank you very,
yes.
very much.
Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you. We're
your
glad
story.
That you have owned I up think, to your nerdness.
Yeah. However,
you have joined us.
I think you were a closeted big fan much earlier than you care yeah. to admit. So,
but here's the thing, okay. Nadra. I want you to write us back, and I want to know what house you're in and your Patronus and all of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to know your Potter profile too.
Oh wait, you know what? She made
does she have a Potter profile
us.
On there?
Yeah.
If you already sent that, my bad.
No, I didn't. Go on and continue on, and I will find it.
Okay.
Well, really, the ending is just the wrap up here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Oh.
Well, really I need good more up. Time than that.
But we can pause. So we can
I can just oh, wait. Cut this out. Yeah.
Can I say inappropriate things?
No.
No.
You should put it at the end of this. Can I say inappropriate?
I have a little bit more information for her.
I just want to know her house.
I'm going to go red.
She has taken the Pottermore quiz 5 times. So she's gotten Gryffindor twice, Slytherin twice, and Ravenclaw once.
So what does she identify
as?
So
she's clearly not a Hufflepuff.
She says, in Ilvermorny, she's a Puckwudgie, which is supposed to be the Hufflepuff equivalent. So although she thinks she likes to think that she could fit into all the houses, she mostly tells people that she's a Slytherin-dor. So
do you identify with Slytherin more than Gryffindor
yeah.
then, since you're a Slytherin-dor?
Yeah.
I would think that that's probably what she meant.
That's what I do, because I'm a Huffledor, but I definitely am more Hufflepuff.
Because
but.
If you're a Slytherdor, yeah. then we are twinsies.
Can I ask? So she took the quiz 5 times and got different answers. Mm. All the times I've taken it, I've gotten Ravenclaw. How do you guys know that you're not just a full whatever?
I've taken it multiple
times. I've taken it a couple times.
So I've taken it twice and Gryffindor
every
both
time
times.
I've taken it, I've at least taken it twice, maybe three times, and every single time I get Ravenclaw.
The only reason why I took it twice was because they made you take it a second time.
There's this one that compiles all of the questions.
Oh yeah,
and
I
it'll
did
give
that.
You percentages. Did you
do that one? Oh, yeah, no, I did that one.
Where do you find that on the internet?
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
So my second highest percentage is Ravenclaw.
Yes.
It'll break down so I'm like Gryffindor. All the houses.
And it asks you every single question that you can get asked on Pottermore, which is really cool. And then tells you your percentage of house based on your answers. Yeah.
So mine was like, you know, Hufflepuff
I have
was
like
blown out.
5% Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff was like blown out. And then next, maybe at like 50 was like Gryffindor.
I think I actually screenshotted what I had, but I mean, I'll have to like search for that because God knows where it is. But yeah, when I took it, it was like Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Slytherin, then Hufflepuff, I believe.
I'm normally like 60% Slytherin, 30% Gryffindor, 9% Ravenclaw, and 1% Hufflepuff.
Did it look like this when you took it?
Yes.
Sure. Katie's like...
So, yeah, that's cool. Right. I like it. You're a Slytherin.
Cool.
So...
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your story.
And your ears.
In your eyes.
Watch, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be like your number one highest one is Hufflepuff or something.
No, you're
going to
be
that would be awesome.
It probably will be Slytherin.
We'll see what it is.
I'm a little nervous. I get nervous every time I do something like this because I'm like, I identify strongly as a Ravenclaw-ish.
So make sure that you use our pinned post on Facebook to use for discussion on this episode. You can post your questions and comments, and anyone can respond or answer, and we'll reach out to you as well. Go find us on Facebook. That's where we're most active. And like our page so that you can get all the latest info. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. You can also now call and leave us a voicemail. So we're really excited about this, and we really hope that you guys do it because it's cool. So give us a call. If you're calling us internationally, all you have to do is dial 1 before you dial the number. So it's like the +1 and then whatever the number is, which is 330-552-7043.
7.
I did pick that number because there was a 7.
Yes.
In it. It gave me a bunch. I wanted it to be like more 7s, but I was like, okay, I'll take
just
that one.
All 7s.
All 7s.
So yeah, call us and leave us a voicemail and you might hear yourself on our episode.
True.
So if you're calling... Wait, I already read that.
Yep.
Find us and follow us on Patreon. So by supporting us on Patreon, it only helps us to be able to provide you better content and content more often. Mm-hmm. So our second goal now, since we reached our first goal of being able to build a website, which is in construction, under construction, our second goal is to be able to get a new camera so that we can do vlogging for you guys. Because the camera that we have is kind of old and it's all right, but it would be... Yes. Yeah. So anyway, go on over to www.patreon.com/swishflickcast and support your favorite Potter podcast.
Your favorite Potter podcast.
And there's different levels to choose from. Mm-hmm. You can see what you get with each one.
And I think we should say in order to access the Felix files.
Yes. You have to be a Bow Truckle or higher patron.
So you should do that because Felix Files are bomb.
They're fun.
You want to make sure you can tune into those. Okay. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
I only know the chorus because I'm a horrible person.
Wake me up
before you go, go. I don't know the rest of the words. It's loading. It's buffering.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.